All right, so this is March and April. You know, we're into that tornado season. Then we're going to start a hurricane season very soon, even though we don't really see them manifest till later into the summer. But we're talking about surviving the storms of life. And so we've talked about surviving the storm of anger. And if you've ever gotten angry or dealt with anger, and if I were going to preach that message again, I would talk about that TV show that used to come on when I was a little boy. And there was a man that if he got angry, he turned into this big green creature called the Hulk. And the beginning of that program was, you don't like me when I get angry. You don't want to make me angry. And then if you really got under his skin and got angry, his eyes turned green, his shirt busted out. And it was not fun. But, you know, anger really can change people like that. We deal with road rage and all of that. And it's a storm. And discouragement. We talked about unforgiveness, tragedy. We've seen tragedy in the last several weeks. We saw a bus full of students, 15 of them, died on their way from a game in not far from here. And we've talked about loneliness, stress. So many things, but tonight we want to talk to you about surviving the storm of anxiety. So would you stand with me and read from Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, and then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. If you're there in Matthew chapter 7, say amen. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended. Here it is. The floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house. Thank the Lord it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And that's what we've been doing, is we've been giving you some rocks to build upon in preparation for the coming storm. Verse 26 is the negative side. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and you don't do them, you're likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we're giving you some rocks to build that solid foundation in the coming storms of life. And do understand that as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, as we get closer to the rapture, things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. You can already see it taking place in our political landscape, because after God swept down and blessed us in this last presidential election, but I'll tell you what, the other side, they're not happy about it, and they're doing everything they can. And if they ever get it back, it's going to be revenge. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. I want you to read it out loud with me. Everybody, ready? Read. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a couple of things I want you to see before you sit down. Casting, that's ing. It means something you got to continually do. Just when you thought you've prayed through this week, something will come up next week. Casting all your care. Now, the King James Version says care. But the English Standard Version, which is the most accurate English version to date, based on newer discoveries, based on greater manuscripts that have come to light, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and others. The English Standard Version, which is in today's English, the most accurate translation you can get, I highly recommend the ESV. They actually translate this verse this way: casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And I think that is really a proper translation, the English Standard Version, casting all your anxieties, surviving the storm of anxiety. Father, tonight, anoint your servant to preach the word. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that we heard tonight and Brother Ray singing tonight. God, we thank you for the events that we've had. We thank you, Lord, that you're preparing us. And God, will give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're blessed, and highly favored of God. What does anxiety mean? According to the dictionary, it is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. So it's not just worry, it's worry in the moment. It's an imminent thing that brings great distress, concern, apprehension, uneasiness, fearfulness, disquietness, agitation, angst, misgiving, tension. Someone said butterflies in your stomach, jitterness, or twitchiness. I went this past week on the internet and typed in the words, what we are worried about. And the responses that came back is that people are worried about the U.S. economy, global warming, terrorism. Some even said the ozone, air quality, education, credit fraud, road rage, national ID cards, soil erosion. I hadn't figured that one out yet. They must have property down at the beach. And I'm thinking, if I've got property down at the beach, I really probably not going to be worried about anything. You'll get that later. Amen. Okay. So we talk about the millennials and we talk about Generation X. So let's talk about the baby boomers. The baby boomers, I guess those of you that are about 60 and older, I think. It says the baby boomers, what they worried about, what they were anxious about then and what they're anxious about now. So then baby boomers what they wanted to do then was get out to this new hip joint. But today they want to get a new hip joint, okay? Then it was acid rock. Now it's acid reflux. Then it was being called into the principal's office. Now they storm into the principal's office. Want to know what's going on with my grandkids, okay? Then they were worried about people who had long hair. They didn't like people with long hair or having long hair. And now baby boomers just long to have hair, okay? Then they worried about the driving test. Now they worry about the vision test to get the driver's license. Then they wanted to look like Marlon Brando or Elizabeth Taylor. Today, they don't want to be Marlon Brando or Elizabeth Taylor. I think they're both dead. I don't know if Marlon Brando's dead or not, the Godfather. But finally, then, they were worried about no one coming to their party. Now they're worried about, will anyone come to my funeral? So there's a lot of anxieties out there. Anxieties. Now, please understand we're talking about, by the way, we love baby boomers. Amen. I get anxious when I don't see baby boomers in the church. Amen. The baby boomers are the greatest generation. Why don't you give yourself a hand tonight? Thank you. God bless you. We love you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. My dad was a baby boomer. He was born in 1944. He was born August the 27th, 1944. He was born just a few weeks after D-Day. So I guess my grandfather's generation was World War II. But what a great generation. God bless the baby boomers with the best economy and benefits and all of those things and wealth that was handed down. And thank the Lord for what he did for that. Amen. And the best music. That's right. That's right. I'm not going to argue with that at all. Praise God. If I start arguing with that, I'll have a lot of anxiety. Amen. Praise God. But notice we're talking about the storm of anxiety. Say the storm. With all the issues, the problems, the people, the temptations, the devils, the distractions, there's a prediction in the forecast. And the horizon shows us portends of a coming storm of anxiety. How do we prepare for the coming storm of anxiety? And not only that, how do we survive the storm of anxiety? Peter tells us tonight, casting all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. Now, I'd like Brother Blue to put that back up, because I want to take this scripture tonight, because this is one of the rocks that you're going to build your house on. This scripture is one of those rocks that's going to help you survive the storm of anxiety. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, just give me a thumbs up when you got it. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. Now remember, the first part says casting. We've got to stay in prayer. We've got to stay in faith, and we've got to be casting. We've got to be, and you know, when I think of the word casting, it's not throwing your anxieties. It's not putting your anxieties. It's casting your anxieties. That means that when you're casting something, you're going far and wide, and you're being purposeful. You're literally laying your anxieties. And notice it's a continual thing. I've got to continually cast my cares and my anxieties upon the Lord. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, I've got to be a person that defaults this way. Because if you're not casting your anxieties upon the Lord, then that means you're holding on to them. Because what is the opposite of casting? It means holding. And there's a lot of people, you're holding on to your cares. You're holding on to your anxieties. But you've got to let it go. You've got to give it to the Lord. You've got to just say, Lord, I love you. And Lord, I trust you. And Lord, I don't understand. But as the old song says, you don't need to understand. You just need to hold his hand. And you do that by casting. Somebody say, I'm casting all my anxiety. So that's it's almost a command. Casting all your care upon him. Then what does the last part say? Here's why you do it. Casting all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. So, in order to put a rock down and survive the storm of anxiety, here's what Peter says. Remember, somebody cares. He cares for you. The Lord is a personal Savior. Billy Graham, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? I don't just know about you, everybody sitting here tonight. We don't have any guests tonight. Well, you're all guests in a sense, but I know every one of you personally. I know you. I may know more about one person than I do over another person, but I know each of you personally by first name. Everyone in here, I know you personally. It's not a picture that I've seen of you. It's not a friend that told me about you. But every last one of you sitting on this pews, Ricky Neff, I know you. When you come to Best Buy, you're going to get a personal greeting if I'm there. Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to try to get you to buy something. Amen. I'm just kidding. But listen, he personally. So I want to give you five things tonight. God is, you can cast, be casting, not cast, but be casting. You know, the Greek, you know, the Bible was not written in English. It was originally written in Greek. And there are many different, there's like, somebody said 30,000 different word phrases for Greek. There's 12,000 word phrases for the English. So the word love can mean, in the English, the word L-O-V-E can mean love for your wife or love for peanut butter. But that word love is not the same. You don't mean the same love for your peanut butter that you do for your wife. And so in the Greek, there's about 5 different words for love. So please understand that in the Greek, it means keep on casting, keep on praying, keep on praising, keep on serving, keep on keeping on, because he cares for you. Somebody shout hallelujah tonight. Do you think you're going to survive that storm? I know the triangle flags are flapping in the wind, and I know the clouds look dreary, and I know the storms are raging and coming, and there's lightning on the horizon, but I know one who's the master of the wind, and he can make the storm calm, and calm the child, and make the water calm again. Brother Ray can sing that better than I can quote it. But listen, you can survive the storm of anxiety because he cares for you. Give him a hand of praise tonight. Amen. First of all, God cares about you intimately. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are what? Oh, we've read it so many times. It's like a dull knife in the drawer there that just needs to be brought out and sharpened. He knows the number. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He cares about you, and he knows intimate details of your life. Not that he knows the total count. It's that each hair has a specific number. When one falls out, it's hair number 10,356, gone today. In other words, what this scripture tells us is every little detail of your life, he cares about you intimately. In fact, this is Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. Go back, Brother Blue, to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, and read the preceding verse. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father. Now go to verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, are numbered. All numbered. Now go to Luke chapter 12 and verse 6. Because this Matthew leaves this part out. But Luke, which is why we have four writers of the gospel, because we get four perspectives, all of them inspired by the Lord. All of them have unique personalities and angles. You know, one of the miracles of the Bible is that God used human personality. And, you know, there's nobody quite like Pastor Jerry, nobody quite like Pastor Ricky. And even though our church has Pastor Jerry and myself, you know, though we both have similarities, we both are very individual. Amen. And so Pastor Jerry can preach on something one way, and I can preach on the subject another way, and between the two of them, you get a fuller picture. Isn't that the beauty of the body of Christ? Amen. Praise God, everybody. But look at Luke chapter 12. It says, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten? You missed it, didn't you? So back in Matthew, it says this. Let me make sure I get it, because I'll miss it every time. It says, two sparrows sold for a dollar. We don't use farthings anymore. They don't take them at Best Buy or Walmart. So it's got to be a dollar. Amen. When you go, let me put it this way. When you go pay the light bill, you got to have a dollar. You got to have dollars. Amen. Come on. So are not two sparrows for how much? Two sparrows for $1. But go to Luke chapter 12, verse 6. Now you got five sparrows for how much? $2. Wait a minute. Sound like a deal, doesn't it? You got two sparrows for $1. So if you got four sparrows, how much you're supposed to pay if you got four? $2. But the Bible says you get five. What are you saying, Brother Ricky? You're talking about a sale here? No, I'm just trying to tell you that fifth sparrow is thrown in for free. And that fifth sparrow has no value. It's not worth anything to humans. It's not worth anything to the dealers. But God said even that fifth's all five sparrows, even the one that's forgotten, even the one that's just thrown in for free, even the one that's just nobody picked, praise God, he cares about the fifth sparrow. And I promise you, he watches over you. Thank God he cares about me intimately. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. He'll take care of that fifth sparrow. How much more will he take care of you? Psalm 139. Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Verse 2. I like that scripture. It says, you know my down-sitting and my... Woo, praise God. There's an uprising coming at Westmoreland. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We may be down, but we're not out. Hallelujah. He didn't say, Lord, you just know my down sitting. And you know this. And you know, he said, Lord, you know my down sitting. And here's faith. And you know how long before I'll be jumping up, running the aisles. Praise God. This is an uprising season. We're going to see some suddenlies. This is uprising time. We're going to survive the storms. Somebody shout hallelujah. My uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Sometimes I get home from working at a shift at Best Buy. I'm going to be honest with you. My feet are hurting for certain. And I sit on that couch. My wife says, honey, will you go get me some tea? And I said, baby, my heart says yes. And my head says yes. But my feet are filing a protest. My feet are not cooperating. And I'll never forget when I first started working, you know, it's because pastoring 20 years, I was sitting in that office half the day and then walking up the hospital is about all I did as far as unless I was exercising. And there's a lot of sitting, a lot of study, a lot of reading and being at home, you sit. And so then when I first started working there, it was like, man, my feet, man, I didn't even know I had them. You know, y'all still there. And I was like, you 40-some years old, and you're getting older, and you're big, and blah, 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 blah. And this little skinny beanpole fella that I work with, and he doesn't work anymore, skinny as a beanpole, come up to me and said, man, I said, what's going on? He said, my feet are killing me. And I'm like, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Praise God, he's acquainted with my hurt feet after a shift at Best Buy. Come on, people, are you hearing me tonight? He knows when your diabetic shoes are too tight. He knows when the prescription, the doctors are giving you a hard time. He knows that when the light bill is due. He knows, for there's not a word, verse 4, for there's not a word in my tongue. Lord, you know it altogether. Verse 5, thou beset me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Hallelujah. Verse 6, for such knowledge is too beyond my imagination. It is high. I cannot attain to it. Now go to verse 17. Can you go all the way down to verse 17? Sum it all up. He then says, where shall I go from your presence? Read that with me. How precious. And we could just stop right there and ask the question, what are you worried about? Turn around, ask somebody, what are you worried about? Are you holding on to those anxieties? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says casting. He's thinking about me. Praise God. Amen. How great is the sum of the thoughts. He knows the intimate details of my life. Therefore, nothing is too small. Nothing is too minute. Nothing is too insignificant. God is concerned about me intimately. Can you say amen? Amen? And then number two, God is concerned about us affectionately. Somebody say affectionately. Because he doesn't just know about us. This goes to another level. Because you can know something and it not affect you. Right? For example, if you hear that Jane Doe in California passed away, I know that. But if you get the phone call and it's somebody you know has passed away, not only do you know it, what happens? It affects you. So God doesn't just know about us. He is affectionate to us. And you can say it this way, whatever affects you or affects me, and I'm talking about the word A-F-F-E-C-T, affects you, it affects him. I heard about this parent one day, and she was kind of washing dishes, and she looked out her window, and she saw her 7-year-old boy, but she saw the neighbor's 15-year-old child talking ugly to her 7-year-old boy. And she could tell that he was just talking ugly and rude. And so when this parent saw this, for she put down the dish drain, dish rags. And she didn't take her time, but she went out there to investigate the matter, because her child was involved in an issue, and she was the parent, and she was moved upon to step in to find out what was going on. Can you imagine her sitting there washing the dishes and seeing this bully who's taller than her son, older than her son, just talking bad, and she can tell when something's not right? Can you imagine her just sitting there washing the dishes and chewing gum? No, sir. What affects that child affects her. And every parent in here, you ought to say amen to that. I'll tell you, the Bible says another way. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. It says basically toward the end, "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." You know what? You can touch me. You can touch me on the arm, and it really don't affect me that much. You might accidentally, hit me on the leg. Unless it's very, very hard, it'll affect me. But let me tell you something. If you put your finger in my eye, even if you just do it just a teeny, teeny bit, the closer you get to my eye, it affects me. I had to have my yearly eye exam last week. And so they want you to put your chin on this little thing and open your eye real big. And I know what's coming. A little puff of air is coming. I can't stand it every time. And once they do the left side, guess what? Got to do the right side. So the right side's now realizing, see, I tricked the left side into it. But now I got to force the right side because it knows what's coming. Thank you, Jesus. Over with. Man, they get that. They look down in those eyes and you know what? You know, he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. Listen, we're called saints in Ephesians. We're called redeemed in Revelation. We're called precious in Isaiah. We're called holy in 1 Peter. We're called brothers in Hebrews. But in Zechariah, we're called the apple of his eye. Brother, what affects me affects him. And if you better not touch me, you better not touch me very lightly, because if you touch me even a little bit, you're not just touching me, you're touching the apple of his eye. And I'll tell you what, it makes a difference. That's why I can cast all my care upon him. Can you say amen? You see, the eye has two protections. You see, when your eye is irritated, it emits water. And also it has an eyelid. Two things happen when something irritates your eye. You get water in your eye. Somebody say water. And then your eyelid begins to kick in. And you know what? You know what's inside your eyelid? Blood. Huh? No. Blood. You got blood vessels in there. If you don't think you got blood vessels in your eyelid, close your eyes sometime and look up into the sky. And every now and then you might, there's blood in there. There's blood. So basically we have the water. Somebody say the water. And we have the blood. That's pretty good, isn't it? Amen. We got two protections. We've got the Word of God, and we've got the death of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen tonight. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded sides which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. God is concerned about us affectionately. There was a missionary to Nigeria whose name was Mary Slessor. She had a ministry where she would rescue babies who were in danger and dying, and often the infants would fill her home by the dozens. How to care for them through the night became a problem, especially when one of them started to cry. Mary learned to tie a string to each little hammock. And she lay in bed at night, and when she heard the babies crying, she figured out which one it was, and she just pulled the string and began to rock the little baby's hammock. And that's how she kind of dealt with all those babies. She pulled the strings as each baby needed soothing. And isn't that the way it is with God? He knows how to pull the strings in our lives. When we get scared, when we get frustrated, when we get upset, God is concerned about us intimately. Say amen. God is concerned about us affectionately. Say amen. Charles Spurgeon was walking through the English countryside with a friend. As they strolled along, the evangelist noticed a barn with a weather vane. You know, there's weather vanes on the roof. At the top of the vane were the words, "God is love." And Spurgeon remarked to his companion that he thought this was rather an inappropriate place for such a message. "Weather vanes are changeable," he said, "but God's love is constant." And his friend told the great preacher, "Reverend Spurgeon, I don't agree with you about those words. You misunderstand the meaning. The sign 'God is love' on that changeable weather vane means this, that regardless of which way the wind blows, God is there." Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. And then number three, God is concerned about us intimately, affectionately, and he's concerned about us passionately. Now, this takes affection to the next level. Go back to mom with washing the dishes. She was affected by it. But let's say she goes out there and that bully is really treating her child wrong, and he begins to try to do something. And guess what? Mama gonna give him a black eye. And then pray for him. Come on now. Now you say, "Well, we're Christians. We're not supposed to be violent." Let me tell you something. Because we're Christians, we are to take up for the defenseless and those who can't help themselves. And if a man comes in this building tonight and one of these little children are up here and pulls out a gun, I'm going to stand between that man and that child. Because I am obligated to stand up for the defenseless. Nobody's going to come into my house and hurt my wife and my children while I'm sitting there because I'm a Christian. No, it's because I'm a Christian and I'm going to do everything I can to beat the living daylights out of them. And when I get things straightened out later, then I'll tell them how much God loves them. But they better not do it again. Amen. Well, turn the other cheek. Well, I believe in turn the other cheek personally, individually. You hit me all you want to. Well, I say that. I mean, it's easier said than done. But that doesn't mean I got to turn my wife's other cheek. Amen. I'm going to knock you out if you come at her. If you're trying to hurt her physically. Come on now. Children, grandchildren. It's a dereliction of duty when a country does not take arms to defend. Because the enemy will traipse over here and take all over, and it'll be hell on earth. We have a Christian duty. People say, well, Christianity is a passive religion, a peaceful religion. It is peace, but it's peace through strength. Even Jesus said, take a sword with you. And I know one place he said, put up the sword, but that's individually. Collectively, you've got to fight the forces of evil. And all that it takes for evil to prevail is for us to some people don't want to fight because they just don't want to get into a fight. Pastor, thank you. Getting ready to preach on warfare. Brother, this is a fight. And I do fight against the devil and I do fight against spirits, but every now and then those spirits get into people and I got to take it out with people if they're trying to do something wrong. Amen. That's another subject for another day. But just understand. Passion. Somebody say passion. And you're not going to mess with God's child. And it don't affect God. And then God don't get passionate about it. Amen. And by the way, he may not intervene now. But he will intervene. It's better than a millstone to be cast about the neck of somebody than to hurt one of his children. And that's not talking about just a little baby in a cradle. That's talking about every child of God. We are under the protection of God, and there's coming a payday one day. We have an opportunity to forgive those who harm us, but we do not have the privilege of standing by while those harm people who are innocent and defenseless. Can I get a witness out there? Passionately. Go to Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 13. And you'll hear the passion. It says, return, return, O Shulamite, return, return. Four times you hear the words return. This is a revival sermon, by the way. Return, 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 return. Can you feel the passion? Can you feel the passion? In the ancient world, when words were used twice, it was strong emphasis. They didn't have exclamation points like, you know, I love you, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. What they do is they would repeat the word, verily, verily. Can I get a witness out there? Verily, verily. And we find in the scripture many times where the words was used verily, verily, or truly, truly. We find in one place, and I have misplaced it in my notes. There's one place, when Jesus talked to Simon, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. And then there's another scripture where there's a word used three times. O earth, O earth, O earth. It's in the book of Ezekiel. And so we find verily, verily, word used twice. We find O earth, earth, earth. We find that used three times. But the greatest, most passionate, most over the top, the more times you use those words, it's like exponentially it grows. Here is the greatest passion of words put it together throughout the entirety of the Word of God. It is these four words, return, 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 return. That's God in His passion saying, I love you, and don't backslide, and don't fall away. I have a plan and a purpose. Return, 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 return. God cares about us passionately. How long has it been since we've knelt on our knees, been on our knees? How long has it been, the old song says? Let us understand that God cares about us passionately. Go to Acts chapter 1 verse 3. You don't know how passionately God cares about us. He goes from words to His Son. In Acts chapter 1, it says, to whom He showed Himself alive. Say those next words. After His passion. Do you know what the death of Jesus Christ is called? It's called the Passion of Christ. Do you know what the week is? We call it Passion Week. Sometimes you'll call it a passion play. Folks, please understand the cross. Jesus died on the cross. He passionately cares about you. So you can survive the storm of anxiety because He loves you intimately. He numbers your hair. He loves you affectionately. What affects you affects Him. He loves you passionately. Glory to God. He calls out to us to cast all of our care upon Him. I wish somebody would give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. And then finally, or I got two more, but the last one's very quick. Number four, God is concerned about you personally. Now, I know I said intimately a while ago, but He knows you personally. He knows you personally. Somebody say personally. When the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire, did He show up or did He not show up? And how did He show up? He showed up personally. That's right. You got it. Oh, let me tell you, you might not see Him, but when you're going through stuff, on your job and in a hospital or wherever you are, let me tell you something. He's not there by an envoy. He doesn't send just some. And I think angels do help us and minister to us. That's what the scripture says. But friend, there is the angel of the Lord who shows up personally. Jesus, just the mention of His name. You just breathe the name of Jesus and guess what? He's already been there. Can you say amen? And when I die, let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to personally show up. You remember when Stephen died? He said what, church? He said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Oh, he cares about me personally. I was reading Max Lucado's book. It's called The Numbers of Hope. It's a book on John 3:16. You ought to just let that just bless you. That book will just bless you. But he talked about, he said, and I'm coming to a close, so don't get worried. Don't let that give you any anxiety. Amen. I'm preaching on anxiety tonight. I started to see how long could I preach before people started getting anxious, you know. All right. But he said in that book, he said, I know a father who out of the love for his son spends each night in a recliner, never sleeping more than 2 consecutive hours. He said his son was paralyzed in a car accident as a teenager. So to maintain his son's circulation, therapists massage his limbs every few hours. At night, the father takes the place of the therapist, though he works all day and will work again the next day. He sets the alarm to wake himself up every hour to massage his son's limbs. Every hour. Isn't that powerful? Now, if an earthly father on the hour, in the night, can touch his boy physically, I'm telling you, my heavenly Father, through the morning, noon, night, through the storms, through the trials, he can touch my heart and minister to my heart forever. Amen. So why have anxiety? And some of you think, well, I don't like to use this phrase. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And bless you and bless you and bless you. Amen. But this is the time of the service when I'd like to call somebody to the piano because it'll help me close down. But since I am the piano player, it's kind of awkward for me to do this. So I'm just going to try to close this down, and then I'll let the pastor ask if he will kindly come up and help me close. But you know, when you think of your father, when you think of the anxiety that we carry, and my family was not church family, and they used to talk all the time about my nerves are shot, and they're getting on my nerves. And I'll tell you, I am a nervous wreck. And all I heard growing up was my nerves. I'm a nervous wreck. Now, folks, I don't know if y'all dealt with some of that, or I don't know if it was just my family that dealt with that. But a lot of that was just sheer anxiety. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if we know Jesus Christ, and if that man can get up every hour and rub his sons and keep his blood flowing, I'm telling you, there's a God that we don't need to walk around a bundle of nerves. We don't need to pop some sedative. We don't need to get out and take a smoke. And, you know, I need a nicotine, that'll, let me tell you, nicotine will kill you early. It will give you cancer. It is a death stick. And if you're smoking, we love you. Praise God. If I go to your house and you're smoking, don't feel like I'm there to condemn you. And people say it'll send you to hell. No, but I'll tell you this, cigarette smoking is not meant to take your anxiety away. You don't have to go to the bottle. That's what people do. They go to the wrong rocks. And these things are sand. They're going to alcohol. They're going to drugs. They're getting on the dating website. They're texting and doing other things they shouldn't do. And what they're trying to do is to deal with the nerves and the anxiety. But here's what we need to do. We need to cast our care upon Him. He cares about us intimately and affectionately and passionately and personally. He's my God. Hallelujah. Give Him a hand of praise here tonight. Hallelujah. And the best of all, He cares about us intimately. He knows the number of our hair on our heads. Amen. He cares about us affectionately. If you touch me, you touch the apple of His eye. That affects God. He cares about us passionately. Return, 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 O Shulamite. He cares about us personally. He personally shows up in the fire of the flame, like the Hebrew boys. And let me tell you what's best of all. Pastor, if you want to get ready to come, He cares about us eternally. Let me read this scripture. Brother Blue, I don't know if I gave you this one, but Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. The mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy. And I'm here to tell you, God cares about where you work. He cares about your work conditions. He knows when you need a raise. He knows when you've been overlooked for promotion. He knows if you're praying about it, Lord, are you there? I promise you, He's there on the job. If you're in a home where the spouse is abusive to you, He cares about you when your spouse is abusive. He cares about you when if some of you young people here, if you've got a family member that's hurting you, I promise you God sees that. And God is one day going to take care of that. You just have to be patient and endure it. Now, if something illegal, you need to let us know, because there are consequences for that, and we need to get you in a safe place. But if it's just a hard time, and, you know, I know what it's like to be around family that just give you a hard time. They don't say good things to you. And it is so hard. But let me tell you, God loves you. And He cares about you. And He's got an eternal plan for you. I want you to stand. Yes, glory. I want you to stand tonight and just worship Him. Because here's the thing. If God loves us intimately, say amen. If God loves us affectionately, say amen. And if God loves us passionately, say amen. And if God loves us personally, say amen. Then we are to worship Him intimately, and we are to praise Him affectionately, and then we are to shout passionately, and then we are to glorify Him personally, and we are to praise Him with all the casting all my care upon Him through my praise and my worship affectionately and personally and passionately. And one day I'll praise Him eternally for all that He's done. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Blue, put that song up there, Cast All Your Cares. We're going to try it, see if we can find it. You know that one, Pastor Ricky?
You want me to sing it or play it?
Play it, we'll sing.
Okay, all
right. Hey. Cast All Your Cares. How many of you remember that song? You've been talking about the storm of anxiety. God says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He care it for you. So if you came tonight loaded down, you're anxious and you're worried about something, worry's like a rocking chair. Give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. So cast all your cares upon Him.
Go ahead, you start singing.
Cast all your cares.
Keep on.
Cast all your cares. Cast all your cares upon Jesus. He is truly able, so just leave them there. Cast all your cares upon Him. I said, cast all your cares. Cast all your cares. Cast all your cares upon Jesus. Well, He is truly able, so just leave them there. Cast all your cares. Now let's do it. You gotta cast it. Here you go. Cast all your cares. Help me. Cast all your cares. Some of you never been fishing. Cast all your cares upon Jesus. Well, He is truly able, so just leave Him there. Here we go. Cast all your cares. Play it, brother. Now, let me give you a fishing lesson. You can't just stand there when you go fishing. You got to cast your cares. You got to cast out your line with your hook, line, and sinker to catch the fish. If you're going to get rid of your cares, you got to cast them somewhere. So don't walk out of this place loaded down. Cast all your cares. Let's try it again now. Here we go. Cast all your cares. Cast all your cares. Cast all your cares upon Jesus. Well, He is truly able, so just leave them there. Cast all your cares. One last time. Woo! Said cast. cast all your cares. Cast all your cares upon Jesus. Well, he is truly able, so just leave him there. Cast all your cares upon him.